cold, or fear. At the moment, however, she was feeling both. Chapter 106. Malach wore only his silk loincloth as he dashed up the ramp, through the steel door, and out through the painting into his living room. I need to prepare quickly. He glanced over at the dead CIA agent in the foyer. This home is no longer safe. Carrying the stone pyramid in one hand, Malach strode directly to his first floor study and sat down at his laptop computer. As he logged in, he pictured Langdon downstairs and wondered how many days or even weeks would pass before the submerged corpse was discovered in the secret basement. It made no difference. Malach would be long gone by then. Langdon has served his role brilliantly. Not only had Langdon reunited the pieces of the Masonic pyramid, he had figured out how to solve the arcane grid of symbols on the base. At first glance, the symbols seemed indecipherable, and yet the answer was simple, staring them in the face. Malach's laptop sprang to life, the screen displaying the same email he had received earlier, a photograph of a glowing capstone partially blocked by Warren Bellamy's finger. "The secret hides within the order." Then Bellamy's finger and Franklin Square. 8 Franklin Square, Catherine had told Malach. She had also admitted that CIA agents were staking out Franklin Square, hoping to capture Malach and also figure out what order was being referenced by the capstone. The Masons? The Shriners? The Rosicrucians? None of these, Malach now knew. Langdon saw the truth. 10 minutes earlier, with liquid rising around his face, the Harvard professor had figured out the key to solving the pyramid. "The order 8 Franklin Square," he had shouted, terror in his eyes. "The secret hides within the order 8 Franklin Square." At first, Malach failed to understand his meaning. "It's not an address," Langdon yelled, his mouth pressed to the plexiglass window. "The order 8 Franklin Square. It's a magic square." Then he said something about Albrecht Dürer and how the pyramid's first code was a clue to breaking this final one. Malach was familiar with magic squares, Kameas, as the early mystics called them. The ancient text, De Occulta Philosophia, described in detail the mystical power of magic squares and the methods for designing powerful sigils based on magical grids of numbers. Now Langdon was telling him that a magic square held the key to deciphering the base of the pyramid? "You need an 8x8 magic square," the professor had been yelling, his lips the only part of his body above the liquid. "Magic squares are categorized in orders. A 3x3 square is an order 3. A 4x4 square is an order 4. You need an order 8. The liquid had been about to engulf Langdon entirely, and the professor drew one last desperate breath and shouted out something about a famous Mason, an American forefather, a scientist, mystic, mathematician, inventor, as well as the creator of the mystical Kamea that bore his name to this day, Franklin. In a flash, Malach knew Langdon was right. Now, breathless with anticipation, Malach sat upstairs at his laptop. He ran a quick web search, received dozens of hits, chose one, and began reading. The Order 8 Franklin Square. One of history's best-known magic squares is the Order 8 Square, published in 1769 by American scientist Benjamin Franklin, and which became famous for its inclusion of never-before-seen bent diagonal summations. Franklin's obsession with this mystical art form most likely stemmed from his personal associations with the prominent alchemists and mystics of his day, as well as his own belief in astrology, which were the underpinnings for the predictions made in his Poor Richard's Almanac. Malach studied Franklin's famous creation, a unique arrangement of the numbers 1 through 64, in which every row, column, and diagonal added up to the same magical constant. The secret hides within the order 8 Franklin Square. Malach smiled. Trembling with excitement, he grabbed the stone pyramid and flipped it over, examining the base. The square base was segmented, like a chessboard, with each of its 64 squares containing a mystical symbol. These 64 symbols needed to be reorganized and arranged in a different order, their sequence defined by the numbers in Franklin's magic square. Although Malloch could not imagine how this chaotic grid of symbols would suddenly make sense in a different order, he had faith in the ancient promise. Ordo ab cau. Heart racing, he took out a sheet of paper and quickly drew an empty 8x8 grid. Then he began inserting the symbols one by one in their newly defined positions. Almost immediately, to his astonishment, the grid began making sense. Order from chaos. He completed the entire decryption and stared in disbelief at the solution before him. A stark image had taken shape. The jumbled grid had been transformed, reorganized, and although Malloch could not grasp the meaning of the entire message, he understood enough. Enough to know exactly where he was now headed. The pyramid points the way. The grid pointed to one of the world's great mystical locations. Incredibly, it was the same location at which Malloch had always fantasized he would complete his journey. Destiny. Chapter 107. The stone table felt cold beneath Catherine Solomon's back. Horrifying images of Robert's death continued to swirl through her mind, along with thoughts of her brother. Is Peter dead too? The strange knife on the nearby table kept bringing flashes of what might lie in store for her as well. Is this really the end? Oddly, her thoughts turned abruptly to her research, to noetic science, and to her recent breakthroughs. All of it lost, up in smoke. She would never be able to share with the world everything she had learned. Her most shocking discovery had taken place only a few months ago, and the results had the potential to redefine the way humans thought about death. Strangely, thinking now of that experiment was bringing her an unexpected solace. As a young girl, Catherine Solomon had often wondered if there was life after death. Does heaven exist? What happens when we die? As she grew older, her studies in science quickly erased any fanciful notions of heaven, hell, or the afterlife. The concept of life after death, she came to accept, was a human construct, a fairy tale designed to soften the horrifying truth that was our mortality. Or so I believed. A year ago, Catherine and her brother had been discussing one of philosophy's most enduring questions, the existence of the human soul, specifically the issue of whether or not humans possessed some kind of consciousness capable of survival outside.